Today is October 4th, 2024, and this is Sarah Desick interviewing Ethel Scheffer for the New York Preservation Archive Project. Can you start by saying your name and giving yourself a brief introduction?
Yeah. My name is Ethel Scheffer, and Scheffer, I got married early enough that took the name of my husband, so it's S-H-E-F-F-E-R, and he was Isaiah Scheffer with a major reputation of his own and with some work that I did collaborate on at a number of points in my life. I'm a New Yorker. I like New York a lot, and I think I realized maybe late in life that maybe as a kid or young that I think I might have always been interested in buildings, looking at buildings, but I didn't know that I was that. I was brought up in Brooklyn and in the neighborhood of East New York, which is adjacent to Brownsville, which was a very poor, tough neighborhood, home for some of Murder Incorporated and, gangsters and other things. East New York was also very mixed and generally poor or lower income. My family lived in a four-story tenement on New Jersey Avenue, in which that building, I think the tenements were mostly Jewish apartments, but the block, of course, was a mixture of two or three four-story tenements. And then on the rest of the block, because the street was New Jersey Avenue, between Glenmore and I forget what, Atlantic or anyway, the rest was two-story or one-story private houses on each side. And so I think of the private houses, although I think we used to say private houses, on the rest of the block and on the other side was occupied by Italians. Jews here, but there were also some Jewish families on my side of the block as well. So we lived there in a two-bedroom apartment. However, my brother was born, 10 years before me. So I had a big brother whom I adored a good part of my life, but who, as he was older and later, he did say, "How could you go move and live in Manhattan and do that? Why did you do that?" But I was, as a kid or later, I guess at the age of 8 or 9, I guess my father and big brother, which was unusual, I think, took me to join the public library. I must have asked that I wanted to do that. So I was a kid, and they shockingly, surprisingly, came with me, and I remember this always, because if on many levels, the one of the Arlington branches of the New York Public Library, you know, with the that being many Arlington branches. And they took me, it's an early memory, to the children's room, and it was to Arlington Avenue, the Arlington branch, and it was close enough in the walking, or I don't even know if there was an old car, that the library was on the border of Brooklyn and Queens. So where we lived was like 10, 12, 13 blocks, whatever. Anyway, the earliest memory was of the two of them and me being asked some questions in the children's branch in order for me to get a library card. And it's a major memory. I do remember a gray-haired Irish librarian. I was very frightened. I thought she was very tough. And the fact that they were with me, I think that maybe it was only my brother, but it was very good that I was very pleased to get a library card at an early age. Another important library memory is of me then alone. Was I 12? Was I an age like that? But also a big walk that I did frequently to the Arlington branch of the library. And I did that over time and began to find a way to tell the librarian in the children's library, my mother's sick and I have to bring her books from the adult library, which enabled me to, because I didn't want to be, after a while I didn't want to be in the children's library for a long time. So I think, I don't know, it coincides with either some strike, some winter thing, but I started to go to the adult library. Another memory of library, of that kind of thing, was I 12, was I don't know, was walking home from the library with, I think, six books that I'm carrying because I took out the maximum. And this was really early. It had to be, you know, Roosevelt, not his, I wasn't born in his first thing, but since I'm so old now, but I'm walking back and I get to a block from my house and I'm carrying the books and some kids, who I was sure were the Irish kids is what I thought, began throwing either stones or something at me and shouting "Dirty Jew," which was a shock. And those were Irish kids, ha-ha, and throwing, and I thought, I was just absolutely amazed. And also maybe anti-FDR, I mean, that kind of thing. But the early childhood, my brother, being much older, also got out of the house. Now the two of us slept in what was a living room. There wasn't a living room. My parents were in one bedroom, and my mother had three or four sisters and a brother. Two of them were maybe maiden aunts, and my mother insisted that the one named Diana, live with us, which meant that she lived in there, and I could wake up during the night hearing my parents argue with my father, furious that this aunt was there. So my brother, it's another story of his life, which my mother and father were very upset, and they thought this little girl didn't know, but I did know. I might get back to it. But in any case, he, much older, he graduates from Brooklyn Polytech. He becomes an engineer. He gets married, and I forget what, and they move to, at the time, the Aberdeen Proving Ground, a defense thing, and they marry there, and they have their first child, Barry, and then eventually, 4 or 5 years later, the second child, Fern. I quickly can tell you that I think in the family, this is, I mean, whatever, the men die in their 60s, young, not good. None of this is good, I think. I liked all the men. I liked my father and brother. The women, my mother, the sisters, live into their 90s. So I am very old, getting close to that, and I'm amazed. although I, you know, I've had a heart ablation, I've been this, other things. And then my brother dies in his late 60s, and his oldest son, whom I began to talk to in later years on the phone because he was a very conservative, he lived and was a pilot. The men become pilots, they want to be, and they're all Jewish and they're not supposed to be interested in that, but they do. One of the things that I just found it, that my brother becoming an engineer, getting a major job, living in Aberdeen, a defense job, then coming back and starting a business and becoming prosperous in Levittown, here, coming back, he secretly, evidently, on his 50th birthday, took flying lessons because his oldest son had been in the army, was it Vietnam, and was a pilot, and brought a small Piper Cub plane, flying it from Korea across the country. His father secretly takes flying lessons and determines at the age of 50 that he is flying the Piper Cub across the country. And did.
Wow.
Okay. So the women live a long time. I think I was very partial to my father and brother. And but then my brother, you know, when I had a baby, Susanna, and was we didn't have money, whatever, and Isaiah was an actor, I married young, I could be specific about that. But after a few years, have a baby, Susanna, who was quite premature. She was due June 28th, and then I am walking in the street on April 29th and thinking, and so I then called, you know, the whatever, and he says, come to the hospital, puts me in a private room, and I said, I cannot, we don't have the money for that. And he said, no, I want you to stay here for a very long time because you shouldn't give birth. But it was, I think it was 2 days or two nights or whatever. I have pains. I manage, this is my minor I sort of like that I think I can still do it, and that is I fake out a younger resident, and the resident says, why are you up? And I said, oh, I just have some pains, and I'm really okay. And he says, well, I'm going to give you a sedative, and if you're going to be in labor, you're not going to sleep. And I said, oh, no, I will sleep. And of course I don't, though I'm trying to tell him, yeah, because I'm thinking, no, this is no good, I better not. So the result was I went into the hospital April 28th or 29th. She's born May 2nd. And she's okay, but that's the way it was. I don't make a fuss to stay in the hospital. I wanted to, you know, breastfeed and all of that, but I listened to the doctor when she comes home and said, no, whatever. Great. She turned out, you know, that she was, you know, a little bigger, great, terrific. So the other thing, anecdote of that is, so then she comes home, then we rent a house in, I think, Stony Point or something from an actor we knew who later becomes well known in the longtime production of The Fantastics, a very major off-Broadway thing. And so then Isaiah had gotten a job with somebody else because he was unemployed, had been an actor, and was writing a series of television then. So I was in Stony Point with the baby each day as he was writing. I was learning and worrying about how do I take care of the baby, and sometimes would, you know, and would talk to myself and talk to her, and I felt very good that the neighbors were the actor and his wife, knowing that they, I could call them. Anyway, one day, this is the last of the early memories, that I remember with pain, this was a premature baby. I'm, however, there in the away, and then my brother, my mother, and I think my father then, yes, of course, and their children hadn't seen me, so they decide to visit, which, that's good. And so I think Isaiah comes back, and I'm very nervous about, oh, I have to serve them something, and the baby, you know, and I'm an uncertain mother in the woods. But they come, and whatever it was, my memory is, and Isaiah's doing it too, we serve, I mean, like a, I don't know, a picnic thing. Something happens that the oldest kid of my brother, who was Barry, and they're walking and running, and a dog, a German Shepherd of the neighbors, is coming and allegedly bites and my brother has a fit, and they all create a terrible disturbance. It stays with me that these are the neighbors whom I, you know, was relied on. And terrible, I mean, they were yelling and they're going to get the neighbors. I mean, bizarre. And so that my brother finally seeing me and all this goes, and they leave and, okay.
So a big clash between family and friends, it sounds
like. But it was
like
bizarre. When the time went on and we then moved into coming back, and moved, because when we were there with the summer house, I don't remember, but we might have been on 110th Street or something, and my father, of course, wanted me, first of all, they didn't want me to live in Manhattan. Isaiah was born in the Bronx and was a very premature baby in the same way that Susanna was premature, only I think his parents put him in a dresser drawer, which, you know, I think is also a comic strip that they would show a baby in. But anyway, but I know that my father is still there because I've been there. It's one of the studies I did. The ILGW, the union, there's housing in the 20s. And of course, my father said, I'm going to get you an apartment there and all the rest of it. But we wanted to live and got a place on 110th Street in Cathedral Parkway, wonderful. And then having the baby, and it was then, I remember getting up in the night, listening to the radio and hearing, because I was seeing the baby, is she okay? And hearing that, of course, there was the bust of, which is just another one just happened now, of the students taking over the university. The way
in 1968?
Yeah, exactly. And so and hearing that the cops came, you know. And anyway, just to say where the moving from 110th Street was because Isaiah had been working with Eric Bentley, who is a very, very great, very important scholar, Brecht scholar. He brought Bertolt Brecht to America, and an emeritus professor at Columbia. And his wife, when we moved here, Eric, while we're living here, Eric, at his age of 50, announces to Isaiah and others, and his wife, that he is coming out because he's really gay. They have twins. And so we live with, but they got us, and what was his wife? It was very, very fine indeed. It'll come back to me. They had a 10-room apartment, which is across the hall, and when you walk through here, the walking through where the chairs are and the other apartment was also years before a 10-room apartment.
Wow.
But anyway, they helped get us an apartment so that we came here. And then Eric, you know, all that happened with him. And Isaiah must have been like 27, 28. Eric just thought, gave him, and they began to do projects. They brought, and Isaiah opened a cabaret on one of the bars here. And I mean, it was an incredible collaboration mm-hmm. of Eric, which I can show you later. I mean, we still have half the shelves of, you know, Eric Bentley, very, very major. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a scholar, you know, all of that. Anyway.
But before we get into your life with Isaiah, I have a few more questions.
Yeah, I have enough on the, you know, living there.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you tell me about what you know about your parents' background?
Yes. Unlike others, those people I knew, they actually did not come from Europe directly. My mother was born here, and I think was brought up with her family of the sisters and all, and then the grandfather married, so there was a stepmother whom I then dubbed the wicked stepmother, like a stereotype of them all hating her. Though I remember at age 4, a grandfather knocking on the door, and I think there's a picture, and I remember thinking, oh yeah, when I was 4, that was nice. And so, and then my mother was a housewife, although later in life, she then really wanted to work, and she did get a job. You know, she knew how to type and whatever. And as we got older, she got a job at an office, and the two, the aunt in the building, I mean, who lived with me, because my father hated, she finds somebody and does get married at the age of 45 or 50. Thereby, my brother out and me said, I've got a bedroom. And I very much remember being able to look into the schoolyard from the bedroom, which I think I went to that school, PS 173, and then to PS 63, and then junior high school. But so my mother was there brought up, and the one aunt, I think, had dementia or something. I was very, very fond of her. And she was put in an institution, died there. That, I think, I liked her a lot. It was a big deal that, you know. So my mother was born here and later began to work. And I think she really wanted to and did. She worked for the housing authority. She wanted to do that. And then, you know, my father died in 68, I think. Anyway, my father, I think, came with his family, but I have no sense because I think he was just 2 years old, so that neither one had a relationship to see, because unlike Isaiah's, his mother was one of 8 children, and 7 of them came across in the Mage from Russia. The grandfather came first. They settled on Broome Street. One, the 8th child, was born in America, and she then becomes a librarian here and marries and so on. So when I met Isaiah, it was very much that big family. But in my father and mother, there's not relation of the old country necessarily, though. My father loses his job, you know, in the later Depression. It wasn't the Depression, because I'm after that a little bit. And then he begins working for the union, the ILGWU, as a business agent. So I'm very interested in everything that he does with that. And a couple of times, he gets me a summer job. So I'm, 15? 16, not, I can't possibly be older. I mentioned this to Susanna the other day, and she roared as I made the gesture, which I can, you know, that I got a summer job through, you know, could I get a job at an office? So he, I don't know how, he got me a job with the Belt Makers Union. So in some place, you know, in the garment center, and I got the summer job. And I got, and I learned to operate a switchboard at Belt Makers, you know, and so I like that. I do remember the two regular girls who were regular workers there really resented that I got a summer job and I was doing that. And another memory, so my father was a business agent. I think he got into some questionable activities. I'm not sure, but the one thing, there were several years when somehow my parents got an old car and we would take like a 3-day journey driving the whole way to Miami. And so it was a whole thing, and I remember going and then in the hotel, and one time when I went, I promptly got German measles. And so had to hide that from the hotel and from everybody. Another summer, being interested in my father, somehow I went, and maybe it was just my father and me, and we were in the hotel, and he said he has to go on an errand to meet somebody. I should come with him. I said, yeah, okay. And we drive up to northern Miami, and we go meet this guy who, Johnny Dio is how I'm introduced. I then realized, though I'm sitting in the hotel room just vaguely listening, but I think the guy was really, I later learned, and I became very, very interested in all of this, which I can tell you. Johnny Dio, I think Johnny Diogardi, a major, major gangster crime guy who was controlling the, and I think my father went to see him because in some fashion, I have no idea, that there was a strike and either Dio should help out with it. I don't know. Simultaneously, somehow I was there with my father. I'm hanging around. There's a woman at the same hotel. She's a blonde, good-looking, pretty, good-looking. There's me. She starts to talk to me. She has a pink, she's driving a pink Cadillac convertible. And she says, would you like to come with me? I'm going to do some shopping on Lincoln Road. I go. And whatever happens, the only thing I remember all my life, that she then says, you know, you think that you're not so good looking and you're thin and all. She's telling me this. She just starts, and she says, I just want to tell you that you're okay and you're going to be okay. And I thought, and what I thought that meant, I'm going to have a pink Cadillac and I'm going to be, I mean, I wanted to be her, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, which I never succeeded in being. So my father I liked a lot. The men, my father has an early heart attack when I'm 16, bad. He dies in 68, terrible. My brother would have arguments with him, you know, all my life, whereas I liked it. My brother is devastated because it turned out he does like my father. I take care of, Isaiah and I arrange the whole funeral. We go. It was bad.
Mm-hmm.
Susanna was a little kid. And my father liked Susanna. And she, you know, liked him as a kid. So it was like me in a way. And the other memory I have, was it the death of my father? Yes, I think. And so Isaiah's sister, older sister, took Susanna, who was little, during the time of, so then, and the burial or whatever, I forget. But what I do remember, Isaiah helping, which was wonderful, we go out to Long Island. Was it the unveiling? Was it the funeral? But I'd left Susanna with Isaiah's sister's family. She had had a third child, and therefore that child was the same age as Susanna. We just had on the phone the two cousins, just a Zoom of last night. So Eleanor was 2 weeks, and Susanna and Eleanor managed, you know. I do remember going to pick up Susanna, and we go out into the ranch house and all the Long Island stuff. All of this was like, these were my stereotypes and wonderful, but, you know, and to go, and I remember, I guess I did again last night, Isaiah and I go, and then I walk in the backyard, and Susanna, you know, with Eleanor, they are on the swing, and they are playing, and I stand not to startle her, and I wait, and I wait to see her. Later, she told me, she's happily playing there, and all. But in her little way, she was 5 or 6, she said, because she seems to remember, she said she was quite sure that I had died and that she was to be staying there. And she was behaving and was on the swing of the, you know.
Pretending that everything was okay.
Yeah, and being with the cousin. And of course, Barbara was good with her.
I want to ask about your decision to go to college and to how political science became something that you were interested in.
Well, I had the high school was Thomas Jefferson High School, which I think was the regional high school. It wasn't a special one. And at Thomas Jefferson, I mean, it's still there, but I remembered just to get to this, that somehow there was something called the classics class, or a year thing of somebody who was smarter, a group. So I get into that. And the woman, Mrs. Kahn, very odd, very interesting, gives us things to read, to compare. I'm trying to remember. I forgot the names. A Simple Soul is, one is Flaubert's story, and the other is the great modern writer, that we're going to read and compare. This is killing me because that writer is very important. And I remember thinking that, you know, this was a big deal. So I was smart so I was definitely going to go to college. In the meantime, I think, I don't remember the years, but my parents, my father pushing it, look, we can't live anymore in East New York with her. She's a growing girl. And because African Americans were coming in, and they thought, it's not going to be safe. So I think that I was 14 or 15 or 16, and my father, there's the electrical workers, which is still there, very important, big, big project near Queens College and near a public housing. And my father manages to get an apartment in that, which is kind of middle class, and therefore good and safe. Now, Queens College was 3 or 4 blocks away. I have no idea why I said, I'm not going to Queens College. And I chose to go to Brooklyn College, which was a traveling. So I did go there, and I can't remember the origins, but did get interested in political science classes, and I'm not sure. I know that one teacher who had it all was Al Gorvin, and the other was somebody Organsky, who Organsky said to me, you know, I know what's going to happen with you. I think when I was graduate or whatever, he said, you're smart, you could do all this, but wait a minute, I want to be sure I'm doing it right. That he said, but you know, I know what's going to happen. You'll get married, and then you won't follow, but you know that you're smart. He said that. He did.
Yeah. Know, what was your response to that?
Well, I was quite surprised because he was otherwise rather acerbic and so on. Mm-hmm. So I decided on Brooklyn College, and that's where I met Isaiah, who lived in Manhattan. And why was he going there? And was already an actor playing, and Sidney Lumet got into a Broadway show, you know. I'm not sure, but I got interested in political science, several different classes, I don't know. And I think there was an organization called the Bureau of, something like the Bureau of Government Research, a student organization. I think I became the president of it, of getting speakers. I don't know. But yeah. So, and then met, had met John Simon. He was the good John Simon, not the bad. There was for a very, very long time, up until the last 8 or 10 years, there was a John Simon who was a major critic, theater critic, and in many, many journals and magazines. There were two John Simons, for those in the know. He was, and then there was John J. Simon, John Jacob Simon, who was a student with me in Brooklyn College, and had gone to Stuyvesant and knew Isaiah, who was always an actor, but typical. He takes the test for Stuyvesant before, you know, I knew him. And though he was an actor, whatever, he becomes the highest scorer of the entrance exam. The same thing happens when he decides to go to Brooklyn College, where there was his sister, much older, very, very smart indeed, wonderful. And I think, I don't know if she went to Hunter or Brooklyn, but they lived on 16th Street. He went to Brooklyn College and was traveling. So in any case, I went to Brooklyn, made some friends there. My criticism of me exaggerated. I think Susanna always observes it and makes both jokes and, you know, that I don't join women's groups or whatever. I don't, you know, or she will sometimes, or even now, a woman at the community board, I mean, we're all so old, I know her, she makes a comment to me. She says, I see, you know, didn't you, we all went to this concert, and you're going and you go with this, a man with you, and I mean, this is a friend, and she says to me, just recently, I see that you sometimes go with men. Well, what is this? I looked at her with basically hatred is what I felt. But it is probably accurate that, because I'm feeling it now, I had women friends, but always, but you see, something would always happen. My best friend, I'll show you because she did this wonderful picture painter. She was very, very talented indeed. And we were very good friends, Harriet and I, in college and all. And then I had Susanna, and then the whole beginnings of Symphony Space. And I had a hysterectomy early, I'm not sure what. And I was in the hospital, and Harriet called or came. Or no, years later, we just stopped seeing each other, and we had something at the diner here, and we were talking, and she said, oh, she has pains, you know, she's got something, whatever, in her bladder, I don't know what. And I remember sitting there years later, looked at her, said nothing, because I had had a hysterectomy earlier, and she had come to visit me in the hospital, which, you know, it was not a good thing. But already there was a couple of, it had been that a couple of young men were after me beforehand. They would make offers, or they were interested, or picked me up. And she liked one, and I was in the bed in the hospital. And she came, either called me and began to say, you are just terrible, impossible. And I remembered I was just inwardly crying beyond belief. And then years later, because Symphony Space had started, sometime later, she did the poster. You have to look in the bathroom where the poster mm-hmm. is, because she'd really remarkable. And she was giving me, so we had, I remember sitting in the diner, came back to me now because the diners go, and she was sitting opposite me. And I remember sitting a few years later, and I inwardly thought, she has no memory of the way she talked to me when I was in there recovering from the hysterectomy. So John Simon was a kind of boyfriend when I was younger, and he also, his family lived on in the village, and I would go there with him and whatever. Eventually, Harriet married him. It was going to be a marriage, and it didn't last long. So there was the good John Simon, and then the John Simon I knew became an editor and a well-known person and died only 3 years ago and was major. So, I know, Isaiah knew him from Stuyvesant. And when Isaiah met me, because his first thing he said when we were in college, I was sitting in the lounge, and he came walking in and said, would you like to see a play? And I looked at him, what? And he said, yeah, I've been trying to find the, he said, yeah, in the village, there's this play, End is a Man. If you want to go, it's a good thing to do. So I said, all right. So I went on a Friday night. But the big thing with Isaiah was, he then said, weeks later, look, do you want to go to a play? This is New York's only interracial theater. And we're doing a revival of All My Sons of Arthur Miller. So I thought, really? So I schlepped out to Queens myself to that. And then I realized this was a community theater and all African-American actors. And Isaiah was the director. That's what made it interracial. And that I realized across the way that must be his mother. And that's his sister, and that's someone else. And I realize that they're looking at another young woman who is Naomi Lown, who was a dancer. I still talk to her on the phone at this age, and her, and they evidently whispered, that's Sonny's girlfriend, and they were glad that it was her, and ignored, because look at, you know, you get the picture. Anyway, let me just make sure. Yeah, good. Okay. So
it's 10 after 12, right?
Thank you, yes. So I'll stop on all of that.
Well, I was going to, was planning to ask how you met Isaiah. So yeah. He came up to you in the hall, it sounds like.
No, but it was also before that, that I have a memory sitting on the campus, because Brooklyn College had this nice campus. I think I may have been even sitting with Harriet as we were first there. And I still have the image of he's turning the corner. I'm sitting on a bench, maybe. And he's, I think, a corduroy shirt. But he's also either whistling or completely in another world thinking. And I see him turn there and I think, and I thought, completely walking and thinking either to write some, what is this? He may have said hello, I don't know. But then, see, at that time, Brooklyn College, there were two so-called lounges. The popular lounge, the classical lounge, and the popular lounge. It meant what music was being played in each one. So I would hang out in the classical lounge. The popular lounge had all the greats, you know. And he walked into the classical lounge and he did say, do you want to go? And I thought, what? So it was like that. And there were other people. And I liked John Simon. And then some weeks later, he simply walked out and said, get rid of John Simon, and left. And I thought,
he said that to you?
Yeah. And I thought, what? What are we talking about?
Wow. When did you start dating, I guess? When did it become a little bit more self-aware,
well,
apparent
we
that's what was happening?
We were very, very young, because we married very young. So, I mean, I think I was ahead of him at Brooklyn College, and then he completed it. But he also began to work in the Yiddish Theater at night. And then the great, great director now, Sidney Lumet, cast him in a Broadway show. Which, and I mean, he used to kid now. He said, I've got more union affiliations. He says, I'm on the radio. I got more of that than, of course, it also failed. I guess, in our young 20s and married too early, and then went to Michigan State in the first year because I got a scholarship when I graduated. And he said, he'll go. And I was supposed to go, I wanted to go to University of Wisconsin because I got a scholarship there. But then we went to Lansing, and it was ridiculous. I mean, he got a master's degree there. I was going on, but there were two professors. I have no idea. One, I was walking in the hall to the class, and one stopped me. Tall, good-looking, and said, I saw your application. Are you Ethel and whatever? Each one then went after me. I didn't know that professors were going. I didn't know that. So that became a little complicated,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
So, so we continued and moved in, and it was, I think, 5, 6, 7 years before we had a child, you know, that whole thing of, and moved in here
mm-hmm.
without it being this way, yeah.
So you were in Michigan for 1 year.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't know, Isaiah could say it, or I could, I don't know what, but I can remember there was a couple, a family, Joe Fisman, who had been a Holocaust survivor, and he married an Italian woman and somehow made his way to the United States and I think had children. Anyway, he picked me up to take me, you know, to classes when I was teaching, and I always remember this. We were in so-called married housing, second mm-hmm. floor up, and he's picking me up to take me to the campus. And I'm walking down the steps. I'm walking off the second floor, come in and go to the car. I would always call him Fisman, because he would say things. And I walk in the car and he says, Ethel, I don't know, Ethel. You don't belong here. What do you look like? So I said, what are you talking about? And he says, look at you as you're walking down. Look at the black stockings. He says, is anybody else wearing the black stockings? It was hysterical.
So you were too chic for Lansing.
Or too. Many years later, some, thing of what do you call it when you have an anniversary of a class that you went to in high school?
A reunion.
Yeah, a reunion, I'm sorry. Anyway, and so there was some, not a lot of people attended, but it was at the museum or at the place in Queens. So I went to it, and there were like 20, not many of my class, 20, 30, many years later. And I do remember, many years later, and I think a couple of the men, they had said, you know, Ethel, you were the original beatnik. And I thought, they're all off their rocket. I mean, I just...
It's not how you thought about yourself.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not ever.
Mm-hmm.
Thing with going with the theater and Isaiah and the Off-Broadway stuff, and then much later, he got a major, major scholarship to study the works of, and became a director of Michel de Gelderoy. And so I went with him and, you know, a lot of that stuff. And of course, the beginnings of, creating, because Alan Miller lives across the hall as the one with him. And Alan Miller said, I got a deal with the Musicians Union. And he came across and said, do you know any place in the neighborhood? I didn't know what, and I just said, there's an abandoned movie theater. The two of us walked over. The whole Symphony Space thing is.
Let's hold off on that for.
Yeah, let me just look, okay.
For a second, yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you end up on the Upper West Side when you came back? Why this neighborhood?
Well, because I don't know how we got an apartment first, finding it on 110th Street, a one bedroom. That was really interesting. I don't know if Isaiah got the job then. I was, I think, going to graduate school vaguely. I think I got a job initially teaching at Barnard. That was the first thing, and I taught political science and political theory. I have no idea. Many years later, there were several students, and much later I met them on the subway where they weren't students, and they were saying, oh, what, Ethel, and, you know, and I don't remember how I got it, but I taught at Barnard. Yes, and it was just about when I did become pregnant, and then I had to hire somebody to take care of the baby, and so we got the place at 110th Street, and I don't remember, but hired a woman had been recommended, maybe by Eric Bentley and Joanne.
That's his wife's name.
Yeah, and those two, because we went to see A Raisin in the Sun, and I mean, I was in awe of Eric because he was the major theater thing, and that Joanne was pregnant with twins, older, and then they helped us get an apartment here, which was remarkable, you know. They also, in the building, offered a much better, bigger apartment. Big mistake, we thought we could never obtain, you know, never afford it. We should have taken it because it would have had, you know, three bathrooms or whatever. It would have been, you know, better.
Mm-hmm. So what was the neighborhood like at the time? You said you lived over on Cathedral Parkway first, right?
Well, it was mixed of, the students had the rebellion, you know. Isaiah started he called it the DMZ, a cabaret. And I can remember it's the bar, which is still there, I think 110th and Broadway. It was called the Gold Rail. And he organized, and then I helped to have the cabaret. And he managed to see it was mixed. Robert Lifton, the great, great poet. And he came, and we were in this bar, and I was saying to the guy who ran the bar, didn't know what he was getting, and I said something about, it's Robert Lifton, will somebody get him something to eat? And it was the first time that he read a poem that he'd written that night, which is, and the image was of the, I always remember, of the police horses feeding off the Broadway median green. Well, the neighborhood, I can't remember the years, but certainly, which I feel now in a funny way because I find, you know, I now go out and I think it's not going to be good because I'm going to be, you know, dangerous at night and somebody's going to follow me. And remember, it's too much to say, I established the famous, Isaiah gave the name, Blocks for a Better Broadway. It was very dangerous. And if you came from Broadway, coming out of the subway, maybe, if you walked down 92nd Street, 345, whatever, it was the Ridgefield Hotel then, filled with prostitutes. The what I did, and others, I mean, and with a minister of what is the West Park Presbyterian Church, which 86th Street, which now was to be demolished. It's all very major for me. I mean, and it's a big part of the life and very, very unexpected. I mean, why was I doing this? But there were the SROs, it was dangerous. There was crime. When Susanna was little, we were on Broadway, and I don't know, I was crossing with her. I know I was holding her hand. And cars were stopping me and coming out, and it was cars from New Jersey, they're always from New Jersey, looking for the hookers, and I'm standing there. I remember what I said, I think Susanna may remember. She said, Mother, what are they doing? What is it? I said, I don't know. They're just asking, no. What are they doing? I would always answer, well, they're looking for women, but I'm not there. And I said, they pay money. And she, as a kid, said, what do you mean? They pay money to make love? I said, yeah, that's what happens. And of course, it had been the big time of the great Supreme Court decision of emptying the all the hotels, the asylums that where people and the homeless. So hundreds, thousands came to the Upper West Side, to Long Beach. The Ridgefield was a place that was major.
So they came to the Upper West Side because there was more housing that
was... Yes, to rent also. Mm-hmm. And all the buildings here, there were hotels of the gorgeous buildings, which now got reconverted. This is the very major thing that I can, you know, show. But how I did, but I did it with like five or six other people, and we were very unlikely. One was a lawyer for a major law firm living on 93rd Street. The other was a superintendent. She was, where I figured out, or if I remember, because this is the big analysis, 94th and 95th Street, the Ridgefield's on 92nd, as an exception, I believe there were 8 SROs that had been, so.
Wow.
Once holding Susanna's hand, I think also, or was I alone? I'm crossing the street on Broadway, and I see a woman has lifted her skirt and is peeing on the so this is distasteful, but something came into me of, this is no good. Where is this happening? You know, I mean, so I took out a couple of things which of some of the original studies that I did of why it's the only time I ever worked for state government, you know, so I could, you know, just show you if you like.
Yeah. But essentially your involvement in the community started with you walking home from teaching at Barnard back to your
apartment.
Well,
in many other ways, and did and got involved tremendously. And you see, this minister is very bizarre. Of West Park, this is killing me right now because he was very influential for me. Bob, he was a minister. And he was one hell of a progressive. I don't know how I met him. We did because we were just upset. And the two of us joined together in ways, and he was a radical. And he would say to me, okay, Ethel, you and I are going to go down and to invade the government offices. I would never do that. But also, I began, it's very complicated. I have no idea. Very major, and the elected officials, Gerald Nadler, Carl McCall, very important. And these were the elected officials. And I was organizing Blocks for a Better Broadway and all, and then they got money. I mean, this is a major, major story never to be believed. And they finally said, we got to have this study done. I began to do it with a whole bunch of people. And then they got money, and I got an office in the old World Trade Center. I hated all of it. The first bombing of the World Trade Center. First one. I mean, not the one that knocked it down.
93, right? 1993?
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, the 2001... which by then I was president of the America Plan, you know, all of that stuff. Let me just show you. I'm going to go to the bathroom and I'm going to put on shoes for when I have to meet her.
Sure.
If you don't mind.
Let me undo your
microphone. Oh, God. I'm not thinking.
Everyone always forgets.
It's ridiculous, right? If you like, I will just show you here while I go to the bathroom for 1 minute.
Yeah, sure. I'm unhooking.
Yeah, okay. I'll just go to the bathroom.
Oh, sure, yeah.